Answers Magazine, Volume 13.3, page 29. Science in Perspective Quick Takes, another cloning milestone. Meet Zhongzhong and Wawa, the first primates to be cloned, using the same technique that produced Dolly the sheep in 1996. The Chinese Academy of Sciences Institute of Neuroscience, which cloned the two macaques, is looking for ways to improve treatments for human brain diseases. Humans share important characteristics with animals, including aspects of primate brains. So primates are better candidates than other animals for research on brain diseases like Alzheimer's. For example, Alzheimer's treatments that work well on laboratory mice have proved ineffective on human beings because our brains are so different. Using cloned animals also removes uncontrolled variables. Researchers can know, for example, that if clones responded differently to treatments, it was not because of a genetic difference between the test subjects. Although biologists have cloned several animals since Dolly, they have been unable to clone primates until now, despite 20 years of trying. Overcoming that barrier raises serious concerns, particularly with respect to human cloning. Cloning is difficult and often results in birth defects. Most clones die long before birth. In this case, only 2 out of 109 cloned embryos made it. Cloning human beings would clearly be cruel and heartless at this stage in the technology. But what if it becomes safe? Any such research seems to treat human beings, made in God's image, as just another group of laboratory animals. Of course, that attitude would inevitably lead to great abuse. But do we even have the right to clone animals? According to organism ecologist Tom Hennigan, God himself established the principle that animals serve humans' greater needs when he killed the first animal to cover Adam's sin. See Is It Moral to Experiment on Animals? Answers, January-February 2017, page 52. So this kind of greater good animal experimentation seems consistent with God's will, as long as it does not cause unnecessary harm. Furthermore, since using clones would reduce the number of genetic variables, fewer individuals would be needed for any given study. So ultimately, fewer animals would be harmed. Yet, many complex issues are at stake with such technological developments. So Christians should always consider them carefully, in the light of Scripture, and with the help of experts, as we seek to influence public policy in ways that minimize human suffering and promote God's glory.
Don't threaten the sacred cow. At a conference on ancient Hindu texts last January, Indian Higher Education Minister Satyapal Singh said that the theory of human evolution is scientifically wrong. Almost immediately, scientists all around the country rushed to condemn him for profaning the faith. All over the world, even in societies that officially tolerate different backgrounds and religions, evolution's true believers will not tolerate heresy. Polar bear puzzle. Forecasts that the melting of polar ice would bring the extinction of polar bears have taken an unexpected turn. Overall polar bear numbers may have increased in the past decade. To explain why, researchers suggest several reasons. One is that thinner annual sea ice, as opposed to thicker permanent ice sheets, promotes a richer ecosystem, from plankton all the way up the food chain. But that benefit is probably temporary, so polar bears aren't out of the woods yet. In fact, they may be moving into the woods. Researchers report increasing numbers of pizzlies and growler bears, polar-grizzly hybrids, in the southernmost polar bear ranges. Since all bear species descended from the same pair on Noah's Ark, it stands to reason that polar bears could still hybridize with grizzlies. God called on animals to spread out and fill niches all over the world, Genesis chapter 8, verse 17, and he equipped them to do so. Although we desire to save certain species from extinction, species have never been fixed, and hybridizing related species seems to be one way they continue to vary and adapt. As stewards of God's creation, we would be wrong to take the polar bear's plight lightly. Yet, it is encouraging to know that God created the bear kind to be resilient, another sign of their effective design.
But I'm hungry now. Butterflies and moths evolved about 70 million years before flowering plants, according to researchers' interpretation of new fossil finds. This finding has them speculating how insects with mouthparts well-designed to suck nectar survived until food evolved for them. On the other hand, if God created flowering plants on day 3 of creation week, as the Bible documents, insects created on day 5 didn't need to tighten their belts for a few millennia while they waited for breakfast. Statistics, biology, and assumptions. Last year, researchers claimed to have discovered the first flower using statistics. On the evolutionary assumption that all flowers arose from a common ancestor, they combed through a massive database of plant traits to determine statistically what the first flower must have looked like. The E-Flower Project came up with a symmetrical flower that had male reproductive organs in concentric circles, whorled, and female reproductive organs in spirals. But some botanists question the results. No flowers today have this combination of features. In fact, the arrangement contradicts what we know about the way flowers develop and grow. One critical botanist remarked, "Things can be statistically possible without being biologically possible." The real difficulty in picturing the first flower is not biology. Statistics is a useful but blind tool. If you start with the wrong assumptions, you'll get the wrong results. If biologists begin with the false assumption that all life evolved, statistics won't reveal a true common ancestor where none is to be found. Yet if researchers begin in the right place, that God created plants with a huge variety of kinds from the very beginning, they can learn much from statistics without chasing an illusion.
Cloudy theory. For decades, the prevailing theory has been that stars form in clusters from huge gas clouds that collapse under their own gravity. The process of their formation supposedly produces forces that cause stars to drift apart until they are no longer bound together by gravity. A team of astronomers recently tested the theory by measuring the motions of several nearby young stars that seem to have been clumped together in the past. They discovered that the stars show no evidence of ever having been gravitationally bound. This means they must have formed individually. It is difficult enough to explain how a gas cloud can collapse with the combined gravitational pull of many stars. Explaining the formation of individual stars in this way is even more difficult, if not impossible. The team suggests that most stars probably formed individually through some sort of turbulent process that drove the matter together. The Bible, on the other hand, documents an easier explanation, to understand as well as to defend. God created the stars directly on the fourth day of creation. That doesn't require physical laws to reverse themselves without a cause.
Big birds. A big bird has invaded the Galapagos island of Daphne Major, a real giant, among finches anyway. Researchers noticed it shortly after its great-grandfather arrived in 1981 from the island of Española, more than 60 miles or 100 kilometers away. The granddaddy, a large cactus finch, mated with a medium ground finch because there are no large cactus finches on Daphne Major. Their offspring chose mates from within the family, and within three generations, a new species named Big Bird arose. Big Bird found a new ecological niche on Daphne Major, where its large beak is suited to eating larger and harder seeds than the smaller finches can. Famed as a case study in evolution, Galapagos finches are among the most thoroughly studied birds on Earth. Scientists are excited to have observed this speciation in only a few years. But evolution isn't supposed to work that fast. Now researchers are reconsidering what is possible. Does this finding mean evolution of all life wouldn't need millions of years after all? Not at all. How quickly new species arise isn't the issue. They're still finches. Darwin's finches won't ever evolve into some other kind of animal. This rapid speciation merely demonstrates how the animals that left Noah's Ark could fill the Earth quickly and display all the variety necessary to thrive in different environments.
Early man had children. Archaeology today June 15, 3120. Researchers at the ruins of Cincinnati, an ancient city in North America, have discovered a trove of Barbie figurines and miniature vehicles. Experts say they were used in shamanistic rituals during the late 20th century to worship the god Mat-El. That is the kind of report you might hear if archaeologists in the future used the same line of thinking they use today. They tend to assign religious significance to all small objects. But the recent discovery of miniature clay vessels that were covered in children's fingerprints has archaeologists rethinking such claims. Rather than indicating religious activity, such objects may give us a glimpse of family fun in ancient times. From the crudeness of their construction, some objects found at archaeological digs appear to be the work of children imitating adults' work. Others are more sophisticated and could have been made by adults for children. Some ancient spinning discs and cave paintings even show animals that appear to move, like an early flipbook. Because we think of tough adults fighting to survive after Babel with their stone weapons, we tend to forget how truly human they were, and that they had children. Perhaps even we Christians have let evolutionary thinking influence our perspective. The idea that prehistoric people were warlike brutes and not family-oriented. But ancient people were fully human, created in God's image, just as we are. They had families, too. It has always been natural for parents, made in the image of a God who loves children, to love their children. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15.